Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. They say the pen is mightier than the sword, and an upcoming conference will reinforce that by focusing on the power of writing to effect social change. Today on the program, we're talking with environmental activist and writer Chip Ward about writing and pen and storytelling as a change agent. Chip Ward is a former political activist and former library administrator here in Salt Lake City. He co-founded the groups Families Against Incinerator Risk, Heal Utah, and other grassroots groups to raise awareness about the links between environmental quality and public health. He's appeared on CNN, the BBC, NPR, his many other outlets. His writings have appeared in The Washington Post, The LA Times, and again, many other publications. His books include Canaries on the Rim, about the power of citizen activism. And Chip Ward joins us by phone from his home in Torrey, Utah. Chip, hi. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Jennifer. Good morning.
Chip Ward is the keynote speaker at Utah Valley University's first conference on writing for social change. That's happening tomorrow, Tuesday, November 13th. It's a day-long event, and we'll give you more details on that as we go. But you can join our conversation this morning if you've written a letter to the editor or even posted a political missive on Facebook. Share your story. What is it about writing that attracts you? 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Chip Ward, you've written for years about the environment and other causes that you believe in deeply. When did you discover the power of words?
Well, actually, my writing developed in the context of the various campaigns that I was involved in to make polluters accountable. You know, if you're doing effective grassroots political work, you're really writing all the time. You're writing newsletters. I guess newsletters are actually sort of archaic at this point. It's probably a website or a blog at this point.
Sure.
But as letters to the editor, op-ed pieces, statements to be read at hearings, panels, debates, you're constantly writing pamphlets. And so most of my formative writing experiences were really done on the move in that context. They were often collaborative, often with a pretty unforgiving deadline. And over the years doing that, I just discovered that maybe I could just focus on that instead of all the phone calls and door knocking and so forth that go into political organizing.
Mm. Describe the way that writing is different from other outreach activities, social media, or taking to the streets, or as you mentioned, you know, the phone banking demonstrations, that kind of activity. How does writing differ, or does it?
Well, I'm not sure it differs all that much, except for that because it's written and it's captured in print or on a screen, you might have more time to process it or to go back and revisit it. It's powerful in that sense. It's not as ephemeral as, let's say, the spoken word. But here's a fairly basic understanding that I came to, and that is that the articulation of reality is really more primal than any policy or plan or project. That this is how we communicate as human beings. Even a vow of silence begins with some sort of discussion about it. And so, you know, words are all we have to outline for each other who we are, where we came from, where we're going, what we're capable of, what we like and dislike, and so forth. So words are powerful, and if you want to harness that power, you have to be fairly deliberate and intentional about it.
You've written about a whole range of topics, including the nuclear disaster at Fukushima, about fire in the West, about water in the West. How do you decide what to write about?
Well, these days, I decide to write about what captures my interest. I'm in the luxurious position of not being, not having a career anymore. I'm retired. And I live down here in Torrey. I'm not involved in all the different campaigns that I used to be involved in. So I have a little bit more choice at this point. In the past, it was usually about whatever issue we were dealing with up north there where you are.
Speaking with Chip Ward, he is a writer, a former political activist. I would say you're still a political activist, also a former library administrator, and he is the keynote speaker at the Utah Valley University's first conference on writing for social change. Again, that's happening tomorrow, Tuesday, November 13th. It's a day-long event, and you can find out a lot more through the links on our website, kcpw.org. But if you'd like to join us, if you have questions or comments for Chip Ward, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. On your blog, you write that, quote, we spent the last two centuries learning how nature can create wealth. We will spend the next century learning how nature creates health. That clever turn of the phrase, I mean, how do you find the words that really capture something in a very short, accessible way?
Well, the difference between wealth and health, the two concepts, are kind of fascinate me. And, of course, we're not just talking about words. We're talking about how people express their values, how they make choices together, how we sort out our differences and so forth. But wealth encourages us to accumulate. Health encourages us to see how things flow. Wealth really assigns value. Health assumes value. Wealth says compete and conquer. Health says reciprocate, reconcile. Wealth manages and measures. Health usually is a little bit more free-flowing than that. It requires us to jam and dance a little bit. So they're really two different modes of being in the world, and I think that in the last 100 years we became very good at figuring out how to extract wealth from nature. What we're now learning is that nature also gives us health, and we have to figure out how it does that and how not to get in the way.
So for writing to be a very effective activist tool, I mean, you have to engage in the craft of writing. You have to, you know, put some complicated concepts into a very short, accessible phraseology. I mean, that I guess is where the art comes in, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure you can teach that, though. At UVU, they're certainly trying to do that. I never had any formal background in learning how to write. I just did it on my own. But yes, that's it. Turning the phrase is the most important part. Today, unfortunately, everything is sort of soundbited, and I certainly had to learn to do that in order to deal with media when I was more politically active. You do lose a lot that way, but that seems to be the way we're going. Everything is in bullet points today. So that's the challenge. That's the one you meet.
You, in your essay, Dance, Don't Drive, Resilient Thinking in a Turbulent World, you write, quote, our civic discourse about sustainability needs to be reframed to convey its importance. I'm curious how writing can reframe a complete conversation on the community level.
Well, I think that we're doing that right now. Take the word sustainable. It's a pretty bloodless word. I think that when people hear that our current civilization, our current economy is unsustainable, it's pretty anesthetizing. If you really look at what the word means, it means whatever is not sustainable eventually collapses. And so that's pretty serious business. If our economy should collapse, or if our civilization should collapse. So I think that we need to reframe the discussion to talk more about the implications of what it means to live in an unsustainable world, what could happen, and how you avoid that.
So you mentioned that you will be teaching this course down at UVU, and it's difficult to teach someone how to write persuasively. What are some of the tips you're going to be mentioning tomorrow?
Well, I think for people who are writing for social change, and I think that most of those folks are involved with the Center for Peace and Justice down there at UVU, so they probably have some of the same concerns that I do. And I would just say, you know, you don't write from outside of the struggle. Find what cause stirs your passion, what you're really interested in, get involved, roll up your sleeves, and then have your writing serve that end. We sometimes treat writing as if the whole goal is to be published somewhere, and that's very nice, but really if you're trying to affect change, you're really influencing people, reaching them where they are, and serving a cause.
What writers out there today are doing this in ways that you find compelling and interesting?
Well, I think Bill McKibben is writing some very powerful stuff about climate change. I read Michael Pollan to understand about food. My friend Rebecca Solnit, I think, has got a number of great takes on what's going on today. She has two recent essays at TomDispatch.com, which I think are very good. And then, of course, it's not just all nonfiction political writing. There are people who are writing creatively. Mary Dixon's play about being a downwinder is a very powerful example of how a play can influence your view of the world. We need all kinds of writing. It's a very diverse world out there, and a lot of diverse people. And you write to fill a niche.
Chip Ward, he is a writer, a political activist, and a former library administrator, author of the book Canaries on the Rim. He will be the keynote speaker at Utah Valley University's first conference on writing for social change tomorrow, Tuesday, November 13th. You can find out a lot more through some links on our website, kcpw.org. Chip Ward joining us by phone from his home in Torrey, Utah. Chip, thanks so much for the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Coming up tomorrow, understanding Muslim societies. We'll hear from an expert on that. Also, acclaimed pianist Leslie Howard. So join us for those conversations tomorrow morning at 9. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.